What's up, people? Cool. Some of you I've seen, you probably know me. Maybe I haven't introduced myself to you. I see some new faces today. I'm Isaiah, youth pastor here. Love to spend time with you, man. Tuesday, come spend time with us. Thursday, come spend time with us at our house. We want to have you over. We'll do some fun stuff. Once, it'll be hard. I might get in trouble, but I want to do like football and boxing and a bunch of junk. So we'll do some fun stuff. Okay, bloody noses and no lawsuits. But Tuesdays, and then Thursdays, Ben, can you wave everybody? Ben, Melissa, Alan, and Dorcas back here, wave your hand, are leading the Thursday night small group. Man, I wish I could go to that one. I might pop in. But Tuesday night's going to be Emily and I and Caleb Carter at our house, but we want to have fun with you. We already have 7 people signed up for Tuesday night, but Thursday night, we probably have 7 of your nieces coming, right? All right, so we have like probably 10 or so. So maybe if your friends are not coming because of COVID, it's a great place to come, and it's not like a huge group of people. But those, man, though, I would rather you go to a small group and also come to youth night, but rather you go to a small group than even come here, dude. Because, like, I want to spend time with you, like personal time. Like, I want to hang out with you, okay? All right. Everybody say cool. All right. So last week we talked about something. We had a bunch of, like, items that were kind of toxic. What did we talk about last week? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, Aaron, what did we talk about? Toxic friends. Okay, I actually have a bunch of journals here. Can I have one of the leaders help me? If you don't have a journal, I really want you to take notes. And I'm just going to give these out for free. Sorry, Melissa. I think we were going to sell these. But if you don't have a journal, like a cool like youth journal, raise your hand and they'll give you one for free. Like completely for free. All right, go ahead. Yeah, take notes. Your reticular activating system is engaged when you're taking notes. You're making shapes. Your brain is connecting it to the shapes, and you're going to learn stuff, and you're going to become stuff if you're taking notes, all right? I don't want it to be like your Zoom, like school sessions when you're on the screen, and then your teacher's like, just turn off your video, guys. I don't want, and you fall asleep, okay? Don't do that. Or like in my classes, people would come half-dressed, and they just show the top half, and their shirt was on, but nothing else was on. Nobody else? Just my class? Okay, cool. All right. That's how my class was in college for 3 years. But I feel your pain, man. That's tough. So if you're in Omaha schools or you're doing like online school, man, I feel your pain, dude. I did that for 3 years. All right. So last week we talked about toxic friendships. We talked a lot about, man, things that are really toxic that you need to stay away from. And we talked about items in our houses like mattresses, like deodorant, like makeup, those kind of things that are helpful, but they're also toxic if they're used in the wrong ways or if they're used in too large of amounts. And so toxic things like people actually have value. Everybody say value. Every one of you have value. Some of you in this room, maybe your friends would say that you're toxic. You know what? God thinks that you're valuable. God loves you and he cares about you. But there are certain things that make us toxic to certain people around us. And the toxic meaning, it affects them in a negative way. Gossip, being hot-tempered, being immoral, meaning sexually you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. There's other things like you aren't loyal to your friends. You're constantly changing. You see somebody in the hallway, hey, what's up? But then you're around other people and you're like, I don't even know you. You're not real. You're fake. Those kind of things the scripture tells us in Proverbs and a bunch of places, hey, don't even hang out with people who are toxic, right? And it's not because they don't have value. It's because they affect you in a negative way, right? So we talked about that and talked about how we need to get rid of some friends. How many of you have actually gotten rid of some friends or stopped talking to certain people this week? You have? Dude, I applaud you. Clap your hands for these people, man. That's tough. That is tough, man. That is one of the hardest things you'll do. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend or boyfriend, dude. Like, really, it's like hard. You don't know what to do now. Like, do you say hi, whatever? That's really hard, and there's not really a great way to break up, right? They're going to be mad at you regardless. Just try to be nice, all right? All right, so next week, we're going to talk. Emily and I are going to be up here. We're going to answer questions about dating. We want to know what you think. We want to know we've gone through dating. There's some stuff that we went through. Then we've made some mistakes, and there's some things that, you know, we did well. And we were friends for a long time before we even started dating. But we have an interesting, very interesting dating story that Emily will probably share most of it. So next week. But today we're talking about best friends. Everybody turn to someone and say, you're my best friend. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, you're a liar. You ain't my friend. Liar. My mom, whenever I lied, she said, you know, the Bible says liars go to hell. I'm like, Mom, you're a Christian. What are you saying that? But best friends, okay? I've had a lot of friends in my life. I played basketball in high school. I had friends there. I was in like JBQ stuff when I was a kid. I'm not ashamed of that, but it's like a nerdy thing to do. But, you know, I was doing JBQ, and I had friends there. I had friends. When I lived in Hawaii, we used to ride our bikes down to the football field. I have friends. They'd offer me drugs like every day. But they're still, I considered them my friends at the time. Okay, I didn't do them at the time. But, you know, they were still considered friends. I probably shouldn't have hung out with them. But I had friends in basketball, all these things. I had friends in the internship I was in here at the church. When I was 16 to 18, I was an intern here at the church in youth, which we're going to do an internship next year. I'm really, really excited about that. And I had friends there. I had people in my wedding, my groomsmen. They were some good friends. And what's funny is friends, they fade away. Friends fade away. You have friends because you have something in common with them. You live in the same neighborhood like Elijah and Micah do and Jaden. They're like neighbors. So you're just friends. As long as you have something in common that's like pretty cool and you don't have a big stink about something else, you're going to be friends, right? Or if you're playing the same sports team, same hockey team, you're in the same dance studio, you go to the same gym, same school, same class, same grade, same church even, you have friends. But a best friend is different, right? A best friend, it's not as important to have something in common as much as it is permission to speak into and listen to our lives, right? A best friend is something different. How many of you would raise your hand and say that you have a best friend? Awesome. Cool. Put your hands down. How many of you would say you have a best friend that's in this room? Okay. All right. About half of you. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. And I'm not saying best friend as in it's number one. Okay, number one is a best friend. Number two is a better friend. And number three is a good friend. I'm not saying that. Okay, you can have a couple best friends, in my opinion. Okay, so I could probably count on my hand how many times I've hung out with people like who are even in my wedding party. There's like 7, 8 dudes. Okay, but there's a friend I asked to be in my wedding party, and he said no. He said no because he had moved away 8 years ago, and he moved like a plane ride like 6, 7 hours away. Didn't have a lot of money at the time, was focused on school, and he said no. And so, you know, we kept talking every once in a while. And none of my other groomsmen, we don't talk very much. But this guy, even though he said no to go to my wedding, somehow we still had this deep connection. And so we talked, and we actually, in February, I called him, and we talked about things because Pastor Jason had asked me, I think it was March or April, if I would consider being your guys' youth pastor. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, man, this is what Pastor Jason's asking me to do. What do you think? My whole life is invested in kids' ministry. I actually just went to a kids' conference the week, we went Monday, we got back Friday, COVID shutdown happened Saturday. So I went to go learn about kids' ministry, and then kids' ministry just got shut down. What the heck? What the heck, God? So it was funny because we were in Dallas, and literally the church, like a mile away from the church is where the Dallas city limit stopped. And they said we couldn't meet anymore. But since we were a mile out, we could still meet for the conference. It was crazy. But anyways, we got back, and so I called him after Pastor Jason Vaughn told me I need to be youth pastor. But I was still going to pray about it. I'm kidding. He didn't do that. But he really felt like it was the right move, and so I called him. I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I like what I'm doing. You know, I could see myself doing kids for 20 years. Dude, I don't care. I know God has certain things planned, but I'm okay. I'm content with what God wants me to have. And so I talked to him, and I was like, hey, would you consider, like, being the kids pastor if I was to move to youth? And you guys are probably catching on, but it was Pastor Ethan, the new kids pastor. And so he's like, I don't know, man. I've gotten a couple job offers from, like, West Virginia, from Florida, and a couple other places, but, you know, I don't know if it's the right timing. So he talked to his girlfriend about it, and they talked about it, and they said, you know what, if God wants us to do that, we'll do it. So they began to talk to Pastor Jason, talk to Will Prusha in this room, talk to Mickey, a couple of people, and it was a good fit. So we began to make this transition. And recently, I went to the zoo last week on a double date with him and his girlfriend, and we tricked her into going to the Mammoth Gardens over there by like the lion area, and there was like the swings going over our head. And he proposed to her, and she said no, but no, kidding. And she said yes. Have you ever seen someone say no? Raise your hand if you see someone say no. That's so sad. That is so sad. You just put your heart out there. Okay, there's some dudes who do it, though. And if you don't know, like, 99% that she's going to say yes, you probably shouldn't ask. It's like, you should just know it's not a good idea. But she said yes. Now they're engaged, and Naomi and Ethan, they're going to get married sometime next year. But I will fly out to his wedding in Orlando. I will do it. But, you know, even though our paths haven't crossed a whole lot since then, I really value our friendship, and I would consider him a best friend. And it's really cool that he lives here now because we can hang out. But we were able to share something deeper than just surface stuff that we can relate to. You know, we met because we were in an internship, but we lasted because we had things in our lives that were hard that we helped each other through. And there's hard things, like when he moved to Miami, he had a really rough time with the church. He was in kids ministry, I was in kids ministry. We struggled with the same things, and we're able to encourage each other and listen to each other and catch up with each other. And we talked to each other about a relationship. He talked to me about his girlfriend. I talked to him about Emily and ministry. And what kept us together was the hard times that we went through. And that made him a best friend to me. C.S. Lewis says, the way that friendship is formed is when someone looks at you and says, you too. So like the same movie, same music, you live in the same neighborhood, go to the same church. Best friend is different. Let me describe a best friend in the words of this smart guy, Dr. Charles Stanley. It says this, a best friend, someone who understands your past, it means they know your junk, believes in your future, they know who you could be, and they are willing to forget your junk, and accepts you today the way that you are. One who is there to catch you when you fall. One who you can share your everyday stuff with, your junk with. One who accepts your worst but helps you to become your best. This is why, you know, our best friend, I think, should be a Christian, should be someone who can help us to be our best in Christ, because that's the person that can point us to that narrow path, that straight path that God has for us. Helps you to become your best. Someone who comes in when the whole world has gone out. How many of you have a best friend? I know that, it's rhetorical. How many, love you. You are, yeah, love you. We have a best friend, not only in Jesus, but we have people around us that could be our friends. Listen, how many of you say your life would be better if you had a best friend like that? Bob Goff says this, it's easy to be in proximity or around somebody. Look around the room. Easy to be in proximity with each other, but not present with each other. Some of you may feel like, you know, I don't have a friend or a best friend, even though I'm surrounded by people who are cool or who are like me. Because it's easy to be in a room with people, but not open up with them. It's easy to be in a small group, and everyone's sharing what God is doing or a prayer request, and it's easy to be content with just sitting there and not sharing. Because what if somebody gossips about you? What if someone hurts you? What if someone confronts you with something? What if someone finds out about what you did and tells your parents? What if they were to get involved in your mess, in your junk? What would they think of you? Would they want to still be your friend? What would they think if they saw you without makeup? Some of you girls with guys, like, would they still like you? Would they still think you're pretty? Like, would they still want to be your friend? This is real stuff. I mean, like, for real. Like, people have these insecurities, and they say, you know what? I don't want to be open to people because I don't know if they want to be my friend still. It's easy to go through tough situations, everybody, and come out on the other side of it, wounded, afraid, depressed, degraded, guarded, losing your faith if you don't have a best friend who's there to help you. It reminds me of this group of friends in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, Daniel 1. And it's cool that they sang that song because they told the conclusion of the story. But I'm going to show you where how they got to that point. How did they get to this point where they're willing to stink and go into a fire? Would the friends that you have be willing to go into a fire with you? Man. Daniel 1, go there. Daniel 1, who's got their Bible? Heathens, where's your Bibles? Elijah, where's your Bible? Oh my gosh. All right. Benjamin, where's your Bible? All right, we'll get you. What'd you get? If you guys don't have Bibles, just let us know. We'll get you a Bible. All right, who has a Bible? Raise up your Bible. Abhishek, cool. What's up? Los Niños, awesome. All right, Daniel chapter 1 through 20. Here we go. Listen here. During the third year of King Jehoiakim, everybody say Jehoiakim. Okay, yeah. His reign in Judah, Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody say Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, that's my next baby name, Nebuchadnezzar. Of Babylon, Not really. That's a bad name. He came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Kind of like I besiege my fridge every night. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. And then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of staff, to bring the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. He said, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said, like Elijah Aristi, right? No, he's not that good looking. Make sure they are well versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, listen, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. They're trying to indoctrinate them. Show them how they should really think. Show them how they should really live. How they should, and the people of Babylon were pretty messed up, okay? They're teaching them about sex, how they should treat people sexually, treating them about how they should worship gods, how they should treat people, if they should murder them, if they should enslave them. They're teaching them their doctrine. Babylon was well known for going out and just, it says besiege, but literally wiping out places and indoctrinating them. They're teaching them this stuff, this junk. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylon names. And so these are the names that you probably recognize. Daniel was Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. All right. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself. One of the friends stood up and said, guys, this is how we should live. He was not going to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. And now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he had favor. But he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. This king was not somebody you mess with. If he says do this, you do it. Or he chops your head off, he tortures you, and he does something to your family. This is a pretty evil king. So he said this, if I'm afraid of my lord the king who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. Verse 11, Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. So the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. And what happened? We know that later on, there was a fire furnace and all that, but what happened before that? At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. It reminds me how some of the things that, you know, the world tells us to believe, they think this is a better way of life. But then we look at Scripture and it says, hey, live the other way. And they think, oh, that won't work. But then you say, yeah, it works. I can save sex for marriage. It works. I'm fine. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to be depressed. I'll be fine. Like, I don't need that. Or if they say, hey, it's okay, you can go do drugs, that's fine. Like, drugs, you know, God created it. Why not? Or God didn't create heroin, tell me that. But God created it, like, just have fun, like, live life, whatever. And you say, no, God has a different way. I'm gonna follow God's way. And you turn out to be better. And it's funny because in high school, I'm telling you, the cool people in high school, Jose, all these people, who have graduated high school, the cool people in high school are usually not the cool people afterwards, right? Right. Like, they're usually not. Like, they're usually the people who are, like, trying to get attention in high school, and so they neglect their future, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, dude! And they're 60 years old, like, working at Jim Bob's bakery, like, sweeping the floor or something, and it's like, bro, you were, like, captain of the football team. And it's like, yeah, man. Yeah, I got messed up on drugs and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, there's a different way of life that they began to live. And they figured out that God's way was the better way at the end of that 10 days. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability, listen to this, to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Spiritual gift. Every single spiritual gift except for tongues is in the Old Testament. Daniel had the gift of interpreting visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you notice that he's still talking about them in their former names, right? They're recognizing who they were because they were obviously set apart. That's interesting to me. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. What kind of friends do you hang out with? What kind of people, what kind of best friends do you have? I want you to have a best friend. You know, I don't want you to feel guilty if you don't have a best friend. But I want you to find a best friend here in your small group, in Good News Youth, even Christians around the city. I want you to find a best friend that will go in the stinking fire with you. That would say, you know what, you know, I know that my head could get cut off. Like, I could get, like, people are not going to like this. People are not going to respect my decision to not do these things or to worship God or go to church. But I'm going to walk in the stinking fire with you, dude. I'm going to be with you. You know, I know Jesus is there, but I'm going to be there with you. And when we walk out, everyone else is going to be burned. But us, we're going to walk out. We're not even going to smell like smoke. We're not even going to be touched by the flame because we know that Jesus is with us. I want best friends like that. Would you guys want best friends like that, man? But the problem is, how do you find best friends that are willing to go through the fire with you? I know some of us have been in like small groups or friend groups, and you know, it's rough, and you guys had a falling out, there's drama, people try to confront things, and it turned out worse, or like you thought somebody was your friend, they slip up, and you don't know if you can trust them anymore. You know, friendships are not like, they're not perfect, okay? And, you know, I was at the gym this week, and I'm not trying to show you because I want to act tough. You know, I feel tough, though. But I have this bruise in my leg, dude, like right here. Sorry, yeah, I'm showing you my thighs. I have this bruise, dude, and I'm proud of it because one of my friends at the gym stinking kicked me I do kickboxing. He kicked me, dude, but that pain's going to make me better. It's going to make me so much better, dude. I'm going to fight better. I'm not going to be afraid of getting hurt, but my friend did that. Sebastian was his name, new friend. But I'm proud of that, man, because friendships, it can hurt, dude. And some of you know, man, that friendship hurts. What they said, man, it cut. When they said, hey, why are you doing that? That cut. I was offended. But we're supposed to do that. Not in a sense that they're trying to hurt you, but they're saying things and doing things that make you stronger and they bind you up. That's what we want in friends. Friends remind me of like peanut butter and jelly, dude. Peanut butter and jelly. I actually brought peanut butter and jelly, but I thought that'd be too kiddish to bring up here. But like peanut butter jellies, dude. Sometimes you toast it. Any of you toast peanut butter jellies? You toast it? Jose, you do? Anybody else toast peanut butter and jellies? No? Okay. Anybody use hamburger buns or hot dog buns because you run out of bread? Dude, that's me all the time. I actually brought Hawaiian hamburger buns today because I didn't have anything else. Anybody have like they put a bunch of peanut butter on their peanut butter jellies? Anybody put a bunch of jelly? Yeah? Anybody put chips? Cheetos? Disgusting. Banished. Anybody put something weird like sardines or jalapenos, anything like that? If you put anything weird on your peanut butter jelly, can you tell me right now? Bacon. Okay. I don't live that lavish. I'll put bacon bits. Anybody else? Pepper jelly? Bananas. I actually brought bananas. How about peaches? Anybody put peaches on there? Pickles? No, you don't. You do? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I think best friends are kind of like peanut butter and jellies because, you know, we may not like look alike. We may not go to the same school, but there's something that just, you know, just works. It's just like you just smash it together and just something meshes well and you take a bite out of it and you're like, dude, this is heaven. I don't have any money, so I got to eat this, but man, this is good. Can I get an amen? Oh, peanut butter and jellies. All right. Best friends stick together through hard times. And let me tell you why these guys were thrown into the furnace. I tell you that? You ready? So what happened is Daniel chapter 3, 8 through 30. King Nebuchadnezzar set up a statue. It was 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. Pretty stinking huge. It's made out of some like precious metals and junk. And he said, whenever the sound of, and he describes it in like a bunch of times, it's really kind of obnoxious, but the sound of the trumpets, of the flutes, every time he did that, everyone had to bow down to this statue. But verse 12 said, there were some people who were watching, just like there's people who are watching you, people who are trying to mess you up and take you down, people were watching, other people who were in this royal service, maybe even the people that they thought were their friends, right? Because they captured a lot more people than four dudes. And the people who were in the royal service watched them and they turned them in. And they said, there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, king. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. And what did the king do? He was embarrassed. He felt disrespected. He felt threatened. And he threw them. He decided he was going to punish them by execution in a giant furnace. He probably did that before. Like, who owns a giant furnace? And the group of friends, they stuck together. I want a group of friends that sticks together when someone's trying to throw us through the ringer. Someone's trying to throw us in the furnace. That's the kind of friends that I want. I don't want friends who are going to turn me in, right? Not that they're going to, like, tell on your junk if it's, like, you're seriously, like, considering, like, suicide or something. That's a serious thing that, man, if your friend's telling you that and they're serious about it, you need to tell a leader, a parent, call the police. Those kind of things are really serious, okay? But they're a kind of friend that's not going to turn you in when you decide to move, when you decide to, you know, not to go to their wedding. Like, they're not going to turn you in because you guys have meshed together. You're peanut butter and jelly, man. You're together, and nothing's going to separate you, right? Would the close friends that you have bow down in fear for their lives or stand up in faith that their God could save them? What kind of friends do you have? Most of all today, everybody, I want you to know that when you're going through stuff in the fire, that Jesus is going to be with you. I can't promise that people are going to be best friends to you. I can't. Like, in this room, I can't promise that Jaden's not going to offend you. Or, like, someone's going to like somebody, and then they're going to like them too. And then there's this weird triangle going on. And you guys better not be dating. We'll talk about that next week. I'm kidding. But there's this weird triangle going on. I can't promise that that stuff won't happen, okay? This is high school, and there's some drama and stuff. But, you know, but I can say that if you feel lonely, you feel like you don't have a friend, that you have a friend in Jesus, okay? And that's nothing to be ashamed of. You have a friend in Jesus. And I felt that a lot of my life too, because I was an outsider. I was homeschooled. I was bullied in Hawaii because I looked like a white kid, even though I'm Hawaiian. I was put on the outside, didn't go to the high school, whatever. And I was put on the side, and I had a friend in Jesus, and that's what brought me through. But if you feel lonely, and you're literally all alone in the world, you still have a friend in Jesus Christ. If no one seems like they are serious enough in their faith, even in this room, like you're just on cloud nine, and no one else seems like they're on your level, man, Jesus is way beyond your level, and you can still grow. We want to help you grow. So, as we close today, here's some practical tools. If you're taking notes, take these notes, please. Okay, if you're looking to build friendships, really quick, really good notes. Colin, thank you for putting together the slides today. How to build friendships. Are you guys ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. If you're ready, slap your neighbor. All right. Yes. Not too hard. All right. Yeah, get him. Yeah, get him. All right. All right, you can slap him back. Permission. How to build friendships. Listen, take notes. How to build friendships. Be truthful. Be truthful. Don't tell lies about your friends. Okay? Don't. If they ask you how you doing, don't say I'm doing good. If you're like not really doing good, be open with them. If you trust them enough to be a friend, be truthful with them. Let them know. Jose and I went out to breakfast the other day, and he asked me, how's your marriage doing? I could have easily said, oh, it's great. It's great. That's fine. But I was open with him and said, yeah, you know, we're working through this, and we're new parents, this and this, and I was able to open up with him. You know, it would have been really easy to just not be truthful. Be truthful. Talk to them. Listen to them, especially. Listen. Share your wins. Share your trials. Be thoughtful. Be transparent. Share thank yous. Cry. Guys, I know that's weird. You don't have to do that part. Okay, I exempt you. Cry and laugh. Laugh a lot. Man, Josh laughs a lot. He busts in my office. He's like, dude, you want to write a song? I'm like, I don't write songs. What are you talking about? You'll bust in my office. You want to go to Topgolf? I'm like, heck yeah. And then he goes and he's like taking the balls and he's throwing them off the thing and like messing around, like swinging clubs. It's fun. You can cry and laugh together. Talk to them. Okay? You take those notes. How to destroy a friendship. How to destroy your friendship. Some of you feel my frustration. Don't do this. If you're good friends with somebody, don't destroy the friendship, please. Manipulation. You want to get what you want. Don't do that. Possessiveness. Why are you hanging out with them? Like they're hanging out, but you're not invited because you're not in their friend group and you're jealous. Like, don't do that. Like, let them have their space. Don't smother them. Jealousy. It feels like you have to walk on eggshells around them. You can't tell them who you're hanging out with, this and this, because they're jealous of your time. Jealousy is a good way to destroy your friendship. Criticism. You're not good enough ever for them. What are you wearing? Or like, did you not put makeup on today? Like, what's the deal? Like, criticism. Like, that's just messed up. Don't be that person. Criticism ruins friendships. Covetedness. You want what they have, and you're always jealous. Selfishness. You give and you take is how a friendship should work, but selfishness means you're just trying to take things from them. A hot temper, obviously. Disloyalty, dishonesty, busyness. Busyness. That is probably the biggest thing for me in a way that my friendships are killed, is I'm too busy or they're too busy to hang out, okay? So if you're too busy for somebody, you're not going to be their friend. So make time for them. Okay, and last, how to rescue a friendship. How to rescue a friendship. If you want to rescue a friend, how many of you have a friendship that you'd like to, like, maybe get back with them as a friend? Yeah? All right, cool. So how to rescue a friendship. Admit that you were wrong. Admit a fault. All right? Even if they did it. I can't share that story. There's some things that, you know, I try to honor people when I share stories, and when people wrong me, I try not to share too many things. But I remember there was times where I admitted my fault to somebody, my little part and their big, huge part. They never apologize. But, you know, our relationship is now together because I was willing to admit a fault, and I'm okay with that. I would rather my relationship be more intact than my pride. Admit a fault. Don't be defensive. And ask how you can heal it. If you don't know, like, what's going on, like, you guys just haven't talked. You guys haven't, since small group ended, like, you don't know what's going on. Just go up to him and say, hey, I love this friendship, or I appreciate you, man. I respect you. How can we, like, get together? I feel like something's off. Let's heal this. All right. And then just real quick, you know, I know that a lot of things that best friends do is help each other through trials, right? And you might not have gone through a trial, but man, you know, for me, when I've gone through some stuff, I appreciate it. Here's some tips for that. You know, all you have to do is be there for them. You can pray for them. When you're counseling them, don't blame God. Don't correct their theology when they're going through loss. And maybe even if someone has died in their circle or committed suicide, or maybe that they've gone through a tough time and there's a certain date, like the date that it happened, or a name, you can put that in your phone and say, you know, this date, make sure I text Sadie and say, hey, how are you doing? I know this happened last year. I'm thinking of you. Or like, you know, that their parents got divorced or something, and you put that date in and say, hey, you know, you're probably going through a tough time. How are you doing today? Those kind of things, real practical things. All right. All right, cool. All right, we're right on track. We're going to go into discussion time, but let me pray. And we're going to have some good time together. And then we brought some cool games afterwards. So, man, don't check out. I brought Goat Lords. Anybody? Yeah? Melissa brought Exploding Kittens. And Taco. Yeah, I brought Play 9. I was going to bring Catan, but it's only four people. And it's like a long game. So, or if you guys want to play like Duck Duck Goose or something, David will play with you. And Jaden. And Becca will. All right. Okay. All right, let's pray, and then we'll split up into our groups. God, thank you so much for being our best friend. And even right now as I'm praying, God, we ask that you would just show us if we are actually yours, if we're actually best friends with you because we've chosen you. And right now I pray that if we haven't, that you would show us that you're there, that you're real, that you're the truth. And, you know, even the Bible says that if we put our faith in Jesus, we confess our sins, that he'll forgive us, and we begin to live for him. So God, I pray that we would do that today, and you would just guide us into becoming more like you. Guide our friendships today. We know it's difficult. We know that we will go through tough times together, but help us to find best friends that'll get us through tough times. We love you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen.